In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting on the throne, high and lifted up, and the train of his robe filled the temple. And above him, seraphim, each one having six wings, with two they covered their face, with two they covered their feet, and with two they flew. And one cried out to another, they crying out to each other, saying, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory." And the post of the door were shaken by the voice of him who cried out. And the smoke filled the house. So I said, "Woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. My eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts." Then one of the seraphim flew to me, having in his hand a live coal from he had taken with tongs from the altar. And he touched my mouth with it and said, "Behold, this has touched your lips. Your iniquity is taken away. Your sin is purged." Also I heard a voice of the Lord saying, "Whom shall I send, and who will go for us?" Let's pray. God, I pray that you will be glorified. You'll speak to us. I pray that your anointing will be here. And God, I just ask you to give us your revelation, Lord. In your name we pray. Amen. Now, I know it's been a while. We've had several guest speakers. Man, look, if you didn't hear the kettle story, you need to go back and listen to it. Man, life-altering. Last week, Mark preached about faith. Awesome. I want to pick back up on our series on servant kings. Started several weeks ago on saying, first of all, we know who we are. Then we know that we are servant kings. And I want to refresh your thought process just for a little bit so that you understand what we're saying, what we're doing, and kind of get you caught up. We talked about in the first week, we talked about which kingdom do you want to be great in? Do you want to be great in this kingdom, or you want to be great in another kingdom? You want to be great in God's kingdom, or you want to be great in this kingdom? See, everybody's going, calm down, Ernest. Calm down. Everybody's going after this kingdom. We spend all our time chasing to be great. We go and watch and worship people that can jump and shoot and throw a football. I mean, we all worshiping Drew Brees right now and all that. He's great in this kingdom. All right? All those gifts, you know, and I'm not complaining about that. But let me tell you something. I don't want my life to be known by this kingdom. I want to be great in his kingdom. And if I want to be that, he clearly states his kingdom, serving makes you great. You want to be great in God's kingdom? Serve. I can't make it no simpler than that. That's what Jesus said right out of his mouth. If you want to be great in my kingdom, be a servant of all. That's what his kingdom stands for. And you know who you are. When I serve, listen, I'm not serving to get anything. That's why you got to know I am a king, I'm a queen, I'm already taken care of. I'm a joint heir. If I'm saved, you're as high in the pecking order as you're going to get. I mean, I'm a joint heir with Jesus Christ. I ain't going to take over God the Father. That's as high as I'm going to get. I don't have to clamor for any more. I'm already there. Amen? So that means God's going to take care of his children. I'm already there. That means I don't have to worry about me. I don't have to spend all my time, "Oh, God, help me, Lord." And then when we're blessed, you know, what's wrong with y'all, man? Y'all should be happy because it's all about us. I don't have to worry about that because listen to me. If you don't know who you are, you'll serve out of a wrong motive. Trying to get God to do something, trying to get something from somebody. You got to know who you are. And servant makes me look like Jesus. You want to look like Jesus? Serve. They says, he's, remember we talked about, he'll give, they'll see your good works and give glory to your Father in heaven. Is what the Bible said. Serving makes me look like Jesus. We talked about that the same call he gave his disciples, follow me. Follow me. He's still asking you, follow me. And what is he going to do? When you follow him, you're going to find yourself serving. And when I follow him, I am walking, if I am following him, I'm walking in his authority. I am walking in God's authority when I follow him as a servant king. And when I'm walking with the Holy Spirit in his authority, the simplest of acts can turn into a miracle. Five loaves, two fish can turn into a miracle. Something, just your simple acts of kindness when I'm following him, when I do just the simple things, all of a sudden, five loaves, two fish turn into a supernatural miracle. And you need to understand that that's part of being a servant king. That's who we are. We as Christians are here to duplicate what we saw Christ do. Now, in this book, Isaiah, I want to pick one today. And I'm going to hammer it hard, and then we're going to show you an illustration, try to get you to remember it. All right? I want to take one more step as servant kings. And if you're a family person, if you got a family, if you got kids, if you got friends, if you got a business, you need to hear today. Okay, you need to listen closely. If I'm going to be a servant king and walk around and be famous and be known in the kingdom of God, then I'm going to have to understand Isaiah 6. Notice what he said. He said that he flew down. The first thing he said was, woe is me, for I'm a man of unclean lips. He didn't say, I'm a poor sinner. He said, I'm a man of unclean lips. I dwelt amongst the people of unclean lips. Then the angel flew down and touched him. Notice, this is what makes us more special than the angels. Notice that the angel couldn't touch the coal. He couldn't touch it because angels don't have salvation like we do. They can't know salvation like we can. And he touched me and he said, behold, this has touched your mouth. Are you listening? This has touched your mouth. Now your sins are forgiven. Your iniquity is purged. Wow. Now there's a whole lot of things I could go into. But I want to talk to you about today for a few minutes. If you're going to be a servant king, you're going to have to serve people with your words. With your mouth. You're going to have to serve people because, first of all, you got to understand, why did he say that in Isaiah? He said it because he understands that out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. See, I can find out what's in your heart by just talk to you a little while. Just scratch the surface a little bit. I'll find out what's in your heart. You'll find out the way you talk at home and all that. We find out what's in your heart. Because the Bible says what's in your heart is going to come out of your mouth. That's why we want Jesus to overabundantly fill our heart so that Jesus comes out our mouth. And do you understand? The greatest way we serve, one of the greatest ways we serve people is through our words. And you go, oh, Brother Allen, even godless psychologists have proven, you tell a kid, you can give them everything they need, but you tell them, you're no good, you can't learn, you can't, and they will be subpar. Why? Because the Bible is true. Now, I just wish we would understand that. What is God? What does it mean? What does it mean to be a servant king with our words? You are to be a builder. Everybody say builder. In Ephesians 4:12 says this. Oh, that's right. We don't have that one, do you? See, I brought my Bible. Ephesians 4:12 says this. Listen to this. It says, for the equipping of saints. It's telling me to equip the saints for what? For the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. So verse 16 says, it says that we share, cause, we're all joined together that for the edifying of itself in love. Edifying, the word edifying literally means to build up. We are to be builders. Now I'm going to ask you a question. I'm going to ask you at the end. I'm going to ask you a bunch of times. Are you a builder or are you a tear downer?
Builder.
I'm not sure tear downer is a real word, but you know what I'm saying. I'm communicating. Do people like to see you come or do they like to see you go? Are your family, are they glad? Dads, are they glad to see you walk in the door? Or are they glad to see you walk out that door? Wives, are your husband excited to walk in the door to get home from work? Or is he sitting out in his car getting his strength, courage worked up? Aye. And it all comes down, it ain't like you're going to whip them, but it all comes down to what? Your words. We are called to be builders in your family, in your children, in your friends. Our words matter. Let me prove it to you, because I wish we would get this. Please get this. Please get this. Understand this. You can't just throw words out there and say I'm sorry and it be gone. We are made in the image of Christ. Christ created through His words. You can't just throw words out there. You can't type them on Facebook and say, oh, well, I'm sorry. Forget about it. No, they're doing something. They're creating something. They're killing something. And you can't just throw it out there. Proverbs 18:21. Please see this. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. And I just picked a few. I could have picked 50 other scriptures. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. Look at me. Everybody look at me. Some of you are killing yourself by your own words about yourself. The words that come out of your mouth about yourself. Do you understand that is God's word? That ain't my opinion. God says there's life and death in the power of the words you speak. You can kill your marriage by just your words. By the mouth of the righteous, a city is exalted. Look at this one. Romans 10:14. Words help you see. How then shall they be called on Him? They call on Him if they have not believed. And how shall they believe in whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? Do you understand? Preacher there is not just talking about what I'm doing. It's talking about when you share something across the table. When you say something to a friend. Have you ever had somebody say something and all of a sudden the light came on? You went, oh, I got it. That's what your words can do. They can give people the light to turn on. Look at this one. Romans 10:9. Confession. It says that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus. See, I didn't understand this verse. It says in the Bible. This is Jesus talking, not me. In the Bible it says, if you deny me before men, I will deny you before heaven. I used to think, what does that mean? If you do not, and then you let the Bible interpret the Bible, if there's not confession out of your mouth, if you do not confess the Lord Jesus Christ, if you're silent, no, I don't want to tell nobody, I don't want to say anything, I'm not talking about you run outside, scream and holler, I'm saved! I ain't talking about that, that's goofy. I'll think you're crazy. I'm talking about if you're afraid to confess that Jesus is your Lord, then when you get to heaven, Jesus will probably be silent on you. Your words release things. Confession into salvation. This is one ones I know. I like this one. Amos 3:7 says that God does not do anything on the earth until he announces it through his prophets first. God don't do nothing until he tells you about it first. There's power. Words are important to your children. And let me say this to you. Lack of words are just as important. In 33 years of ministry, now being on staff in a church for 33 years, I hadn't been surprised in about 10 of what happened. I remember one time a young lady about 19 or 20, they having to restrain her at her father's funeral. She's trying to get up in the casket and grab him and scream and holler, "You can't die on me until you bless me. Until you tell me you love me." She's weeping and crying. Look at me. Lack of words is just as damaging. Because if there's no word spoken, then there's no life spoken. Man, you ought to tell you, look, you know I believe in correcting my children and pointing out what's wrong. I believe that. I believe, and if this offends you, I don't care. I believe in whooping them. I believe in correcting them. If they do something dumb, I laugh at them. I ain't worried about their psyche. You know why? Because me and Amy spend 90% of the time building up their psyche. You're awesome. There's greatness inside of you. God's got a plan for your life. Don't you waste one breath feeling sorry for yourself. You're not a victim. You be something great. We spend our time building them up, speaking those words over them, because it's been proven by everybody it affects them. It's just showing God's word. Everybody look at me. Your words and what you say affect your life and those around you. Second thing I want, do you realize, let me just stop here. Do you realize what is holding our country together? I mean, me and my son was talking about the craziness in California. I mean, California, they've lost their brain. I mean, it's just crazy. I mean, the Northeast is as bad, you know. I mean, it's just, you know, nutcase. What is holding our country together? Words. They were anointed by God. These men prayed and got this thing called the Constitution. And the Constitution, the power of those words spoken, ratified, and celebrated, those words have held this country together. That's why the Civil War had to happen. It had to happen. Either we were going to have a Civil War and end slavery, or we were going to have to get a new set of words. Because the words that are holding our country together said, all men are created equal. It said those kind of things. So we were either going to have to get a new set of words, or we were going to have a battle and kick out the stuff that needs to be kicked out. That's why it's dangerous. They're messing with it right now, saying it says stuff it doesn't say. Now they're calling equal rights for your choices. You know what you're commanded to do with your words? This is not my opinion, this is God's opinion. You're commanded to build. Everybody say build. I just picked a few. I mean, I could pick 100 of them. It's all through the Bible. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 26. Look what it says. How is it then, brethren, whenever you come together, each one of you have a psalm, have a teaching, have a tongue, have a revelation, have an interpretation, have a story, have something. Let all things be done for what? Edification. What is that? Building up. That's why you need to be a part of the life group. You need to come to church. It might not just be for your building. You might be building somebody else. Romans 15:2. Look at what this one said. Don't complain about your neighbor. Please his neighbor for his good. Leading to what? Building him up. 2 Corinthians 10:8. Use my authority, our authority which the Lord gave us, for what? Edification, not destruction. For edification, not to destroy. Stop complaining about school systems. Start speaking life over them. Start praying for your teachers. Obviously, a teacher back there. That's right. Stop complaining about the things that are in your sphere. Look, CNN ain't never calling me to ask me about what's going on in the country. They ain't going to let me speak to Congress. But by God, I got a stake in this place here. I got a stake in the schools around here. I got a stake in the life here. I have a right to speak life over it. Not destruction. We will see a drug-free county. Yay, Lord. Run them out, Lord. Chase the drug dealers out. First of all, I'd love to see them all get saved. Look, if you know drug dealers and think they won't be accepted in a church, they can come to our church. I'll let them in. Use it. But run them out if they won't accept it. First Thessalonians 5:11. Look what it says. Therefore, comfort each other. And what? Say it out loud. We're supposed to be edifying. These are commands. Lord, I look at this one. If you don't have, let your children, this is a good one for you. Ephesians 4:29 says this. Let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary what? Necessary what? That it may impart grace to the hearers. I mean, you know, Aunt Jamie, since she ain't here, I'll talk bad about her. You know, I don't know what happened there, but just fell over, Todd. I touched it and fell over. Sorry, piece of machinery there. Anyway, listen to me. Do you understand? I mean, yeah. Aunt Jamie, every bad word my children know, I think Aunt Jamie taught them. But let me say something to you. You know one of the things I'd wash their mouth out with for soap with? When they start tearing down each other. When they start saying ugly things to each other. Ain't gonna have it. Can't have it. The world's doing enough of it. We are called to be builders. We are called to build people. And the main way we do it is with our words. Are you building your marriage with your words? Does your wife believe she is the most beautiful woman in the world? How many times have I told you that, Amy? All our married life I've told her I don't care if she's the most beautiful woman in the world to you. I don't care. I don't care what the magazines say. I'm speaking, you know what? She actually believes I think that now. Right? Because over the last 32 years, I've said it over and over and over again. My children actually think I would die for them. They actually think they are world changers. That's why they're involved in this and that. Because you build them with your words. Are you building your co-workers? Are you pointing out what's wrong? If you're a religious person, you love to point out what's wrong with people. You know, one of the things I love, I was contemplating this morning. I'm almost finished because we got to do an illustration. I was contemplating this morning, and I went back to the story where Jesus was going to the centurion's house. And the centurion came and said, my servant is dying. And Jesus said, I'll come. And the centurion looked at him and said, No. No, you don't have to come. Just say the word. Just say the word. And man, I read that this morning, and all of a sudden thoughts came flooding in my head. How many miracles are left undone because we won't just say the word? I remember a kid that I called, and he came to our youth group, and I looked at him and I said, I didn't feel no anointing or whatever. I looked at him, I hugged him, and I said, man, I love you. I am so glad to see you. And he came to my office 15 years later in a officer's uniform, and he said, I'm on my way to San Diego. I didn't even remember him. He said, I want you to know you saved my life. And I said, you're going to have to explain because I don't know what you're talking about. He said, I had never heard anybody say, I love you, I'm glad to see you. He said, I don't know why I came to your church, but you made me hug you. And you looked me in the eye, and you made me think you really were glad to see me. He said, I held on to that word. You have no idea what God will do through words spoken. What it releases. Don't you know? In the negative, we all would agree that's true, right? I mean, certain people can say certain things and it sets things on fire and woo! Horrible things happen. Well, if it's true in the negative, by God, it's true in the positive. And the Christians who are filled with the Holy Spirit can release things that will push, knock down the walls of Satan in people's lives. We've got to become builders. Let me tell you what it looks like. Judges chapter 6. We'll just look at verse 11. Here's what he says. It says, now an angel of the Lord came and sat down under a terebinth tree, and he was watching Gideon, who was afraid of the Midianites and was in the wine press, trying to scrape up enough food to feed his family. He was afraid of the Midianites. And the angel was sitting there watching him. Do you realize the angels are ministering agents for us, and a lot of times we give them assignments through our words? I wonder how many angels are watching us, just waiting for us to say the word. I wonder how many angels are outside of your house, and there's turmoil and unrest and bad stuff just waiting for you to say the word. Not in my house. I will have joy and peace because Jesus says I can. And all of a sudden, the angels flood in and push them demons out. I've watched it happen in our home. I've watched when rest and unrest and just tension and yucky feeling, I've watched my wife stand up and go, devil, She gets big when she starts praying. I don't know what it is. You know, something happens. Devil, you ain't having this in my house. I'm telling you, this is my house, and we will serve the Lord. We're going to have the Spirit of God in this house. You ain't welcome here. She spoke the word, and all of a sudden, things change. You go, oh, Brother Allen, you just being, well, I don't care what you believe. Live in your old sorry, defeated self if you want to. An angel of the Lord showed up, look at the last part of that verse, and said to him, the Lord is with you, mighty man of valor. This is a guy hiding in fear. What did he do? Here's the three things that you need to do if you're going to build people. You got to call out what God sees. God saw a mighty man of valor. What does God say about you? What does God say about other people? Second thing is, you got to say what God says. How many times have I heard people say, you get what you deserve. I guess I just deserve. They say it about themselves. Oh, I guess I just deserve this. Well, let me tell you something, honey. That ain't true. That ain't what God says. Because if we got what we deserve, we'd all be toast. Burnt toast. Right? God says we're not going to get what he says. His grace is sufficient. His mercy is new every morning. You got to say what God says. And you've got to call out what is already there. What do I know when I call out, when I look? I go into school systems sometimes and speak to them. I tell them, look, there's greatness in every one of you. How do I know that? Well, Psalms 139 says that God is the giver of life. Psalms 139 says that he was there in their mother's womb. I don't care if they were conceived in sin. God was there putting stuff inside of them, knitting greatness inside of them. And what we've got to do is call it out. I wonder how many miracles are at the starting line just waiting for somebody to say the word. I wonder how many people in here are reeling from words that were said to you as a child. Or even words that weren't said to you. Well, I want to stand in for God Almighty and say, you are worth as much as Jesus Christ because that's what God was willing to pay for you. I want to say to you, you are beloved by God in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Before you wanted to get cleaned up, he died for you and loves you. And he's got a great plan. The plans, I have a plan for you, says the Lord. Plans for good and not for evil. To give you a future and a hope. He does not want people just existing and going through life and trying to get by. We're to have a purpose and destiny. And that's in every one of you because God says so. You can receive Christ and allow Christ to touch you and help you. But let me tell you something. I want to be a builder. There's enough things and people tearing people down. We're servant kings. We're servant kings. And when we build them with our words, they will give glory to God the Father in heaven. I want to show you an illustration about what I'm talking about. Okay? I want you to get this. And I want you to watch this. Let's say, Dennis, what are you doing? Oh. Let's say Dennis, this This right here represents Dennis's life. Okay? What's on this table represents his life. Now, we're fixing to take the Lord's Supper together in a few minutes. And I'm believing God to do miracles. I'm saying the word. I believe God wants to touch your family today. Problem with Dennis, he's got maybe has a thought, a dream, but he doesn't have anything to put it together. He needs some help putting it together. And maybe you might be like, here's what most people do. Teenagers, let me just stop right here. Man, it is satanic the way y'all tear each other down. I'm going to just say it. It's satanic. And I'm choosing that word. If you're on Facebook and you tear people down, it's satanic. Satanic. And you go, well, Brother Allen, you tearing me down. Well, so be it. Satanic. Man, we're to be builders. So most people, his life, he's just trying to get by. Trying to make mess, and what do?
Man, your life is a mess.
We point out the obvious. Is this not on? Testing. Come on. I love technology. We point out, why do you want to point out the obvious? His life's a mess. Thank you. Why do we want to be like that? You know how we go to grow this church? How about everybody who walks in is blessed? Go ahead.
I'm glad my life don't suck as bad as yours.
We find people that are worse than us. And at this point right here is a lot of people. Because he can just exist with the mess and be a victim. Nobody loves me. Nobody helps me. Or all of a sudden somebody that's a Christian starts trying to be a builder. Because
thank you for being such a good impact on my life.
All of a sudden he hands him something that he can start connecting things with. Because what do we know about words? The word of God is piercing. And you go, well, that wasn't the word of God. Don't you dare think an encouraging word to a hopeless man is not the word of God. I love you. To a man that doesn't feel loved is just like God Almighty saying it to him. You're better than that. You're worth something. All of a sudden, he starts kind of moving in a direction. Things start happening.
You've come such a long way, man. God's got a great plan for your life.
We judge him. The word, all of a sudden, we don't judge him by what he doesn't have done. Hey, man, you're making progress. You're making progress. Come on, man. You can do this. Don't stop. All of a sudden, his words start connecting. The words that we give him starts connecting things. Starts making a difference in his life. He starts maybe God does have a plan for my life. Maybe this is not, I don't have to stay like this the rest of my life. This is not the way God wants me to be.
Our church is better off because you're in it.
All of a sudden, a little bit of form comes together. All of a sudden, he starts feeling like, man, maybe I am going somewhere. Are you listening to me? You're not a victim. God doesn't raise us to endure. He raises us to overcome. And sometimes, look at me, sometimes we need each other. I need a little, sometimes I get stuck and I need a little encouragement to carry on. I need somebody to talk to me and encourage me and help me. And all of a sudden, I've got weapons now. All of a sudden, I'm feeling better.
You're made to do great things.
All of a sudden, I see some light at the end of the tunnel. All of a sudden, my life begins to make a little sense. And I don't have to live based on what my past was. Because somebody told me, you can get over this. Somebody told me that all this mess, God will make something beautiful. In fact, I heard somebody sing one time, beauty for ashes. I give him my ashes, he gives me back beauty. And all of a sudden my life becomes valuable.
Your work is amazing, and I want you to know that you are fearfully and wonderfully made.
Amen. Amen. And when we begin to see it, see, it's right here. It's at this point right here that a lot of Christians stop. Well, it's better. It's better. We're not trying to be better. We're trying to be all that God has called us to be. We're trying to be life givers. We're trying to change things. We're trying to enforce the victory that Jesus Christ. And the words that we speak are the very things that God will use. And all of a sudden, we start to see shapes and forms. Man, I really like that. All of a sudden, we hear a sermon about loving foster kids. And this man and his wife surrender. One of my greatest stories of my whole life. I love telling it because it's just unbelievable. This guy and his wife, they grew up in kind of a rough home. And we started loving on them, started speaking life over them. He believed it. See, some of you don't even believe what God says about you. You feel bad about yourself. You won't believe the words he's saying. Nobody loves me. Well, they started believing it. And then all of a sudden, God put in their heart, because God isn't just about healing you. He wants to heal you so you can heal somebody else. And I remember standing right over there a bunch of years ago, about 10 years ago, when we did a foster care Christmas party. And we had like 300 foster care kids in here, and him and his wife decided, we're going to change somebody else's life. God loved us. Daddy loved us. We're going to love somebody else's life. And there was like 30 of them that were up for adoption. And he came to me before, he said, brother, how do we choose? I can't adopt 30. How do we choose? Well, I said, you want a boy or a girl? We don't know, man. I don't know what to do. And I said, look, God will show you. God will change you. God will do something. And I'm standing next to him right over there. And this little boy runs up to him. This is not evangelistically speaking. This is the gospel. This little boy runs up to this man, tugs on his pants, and looks up and points in his face and says, I choose you. And He looks at me. I look at him. I mean, for one of the first times in my life, I'm speechless. I don't even know what to say. That's how God does things. When you build somebody else, he's not just thinking about them. He's thinking about somebody else that they're going to build. And all of a sudden, your life turns into something that's a blessing. It turns into something that's useful, that you have purpose and destiny. Which once was chaos, with a few words to help put it together, all of a sudden, it's good stuff. Amen? Isn't that cool? Miss Peggy, I was praying for you this morning. And here's what I wanted to tell you. Felt like the Lord told me to give that to you. And I don't know when I looked at it, we put vegetables in it and all that. And I know how you pray for people and how you've helped people and you've done a lot of things with your canning and you've taught people to do all that. And I felt like the Lord wanted me to tell you, give that to you and say, every time you look at it and you use it for whatever it is you want to use it for, the Lord told me to tell you that you've been faithful to his house and he's going to be faithful to your house. And the prayers that you're praying for your children and grandchildren have not gone unnoticed by the Father. And so you look at this for the rest of your life and know that God's going to answer those prayers. And that's yours, okay? Whose life are you building? Are you helping people bring their pieces together? Are you part of their dysfunction? It starts, first of all, it starts with you receiving how God feels about you. God don't make mistakes. He says he loves you and he's got a plan for your life, and he does. You got to lay down your anger. You got to lay down your bitterness. You got to lay down your unforgiveness. And you got to decide, I'm going to be part of the solution in other people's lives. Because all those guys, listen to me, he doesn't put that together without those screws. Right? All those guys that offered, that helped him, now get a part of her. Do you see that? You have no idea. They didn't know when I asked them to do that. They didn't know what I was going to do or what the Lord had spoke to me about her this morning. They didn't have any idea. See, you have no idea what God will do if you just offer up what you have. I want to encourage you today, first of all, if you don't know Christ, it starts, listen, it's not about believing. It's not about believing in God. Everybody says, yeah, I believe in God. No. Well, Satan believes in God. It's about receiving him into your heart and making him your Savior and Lord of every part of your life. If you haven't ever done that, I want to invite you to do that. But we're free to take the Lord's Supper. First of all, before I leave this sermon, I'm inviting every one of you to be builders. I'm inviting you to be a builder. Start with your family. You're my beloved son in whom I'm well pleased. I've said that a gazillion times to my boys. I love you, no matter if you ever do anything on the sports field or whether you are beloved. You got to build them. It's got to start with your home, who's around you, your friends, people you work with. Build them. Build. You have no idea what God will do. But you got to receive it for yourself too. God has a great plan for your life. Let me just tell you, throw this one out there, and then we're going to go on to the Lord's Supper. How about this one? There is nothing in my life that can come into my life that can overwhelm the Jesus in me. He'll never give me more than I can stand. So that makes me okay about tomorrow. I might not be happy. I mean, you know, I'm not happy when they run out of Bluebell. But it's coming. You understand? Jesus is Lord of my life. That means He's got me today. He's got me for eternity. So all I have to do is just worry about being a builder. The family business. I think it's interesting that Joseph was a carpenter. He was a builder.